Good morning. Welcome to the post-council meeting this June 22nd, 2021 at 10 a.m. held at the Public Safety Education and Training Center at 410 West 9800 South in Sandy, Utah. Just as a reminder, we have the post-council. The majority of the members are here. It appears that we have a few that will be joining us online as well today, just for the record. We'd like to call the session to order and excuse Sheriff Corey Pulsifer, Mayor Troy Walker, and Dr. Bruce Bailey are all excused. I don't have a list of any proxies, is that correct? We still have a quorum, so we will go ahead and proceed. I'd like to now turn the time over for approval of the March 16th, 2021 minutes.
Move to approve.
We have a motion to approve from Spence Austin. Do we have a second?
Second.
A second from Sheriff Crowley. Any discussion? Hearing none, we'll go ahead and call for the vote. Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Seeing none opposed, we'll move forward to quarterly reports with Lieutenant Jacqueline Moore and Lieutenant Kristen Newland.
So for the quarter of March 1st to May 31st, 2021, post investigations received 67 complaints. We opened 30 cases. We conducted 4 administrative law judge hearings. We closed 11 cases with no action. We received 10 voluntary relinquishments. The first was for sexual exploitation of a minor. The second was for fraud. The third was for assault and criminal mischief. The fourth was for falsification of a government record. The fifth was possession of a controlled substance. The sixth was lying under Garrity. The seventh was possession or use of a controlled substance. The eighth was official misconduct, lying under Garrity. The ninth was willful falsification to obtain certification. And the tenth was impersonation of an officer. We reviewed 189 basic training applications, 29 dispatcher applications, 20 waiver reactivation applications. We currently have 67 open cases and 37 active investigations. Do you have any questions about those? Thanks.
Morning, everyone. I have a bit of a head cold, so take my mask off here. So the statistical report for the basic training from March 1st to May 31st as follows. Basic training academies, we had 5 classes start in this quarter. Class 353 was a LEO, started with 46, 42 completed. Class 354, February 15th to April 22nd, started with 37, 35 completed. Class 355, SFO, started with 21, 16 completed. Class 355 LEO started in April 26, started with 37, 34 are still enrolled. Class 357 Special Function Officer started with 13, 13 are still enrolled. For upcoming classes, Class 356 actually is not on your sheet. There, it started June 1st, is currently enrolled. They're a LEO block going to August 5th. We currently have 20 enrolled right there. 357 LEO is going from July 7th to September 9th. We have 39 total enrolled in that one. Class 358, Special Function Officer, starting June 28th to August 5th, have 17 enrolled. Class 358, Law Enforcement, August 9th to October 14th, we have 23 enrolled. For in-service training from March 1st to May 31st, we offered 54 in-service classes. We graduated 759 officers after enrolling 875. This included 29 dispatchers for a total of 500 hours of training. The classes administered, we had 2 basic dispatch courses for 29 students. Defensive Tactics Instructor Phase 1 with 29 enrolled. Defensive Tactics Instructor Phase 2 with 21 enrolled. An EVO Basic course, held 2 of those classes with 41 students. Held an EVO Instructor course with 22. 1 Firearms Instructor course with 31. 1 Firearms Instructor Recertification with 11. 9 Intoxilizer Operator Certifications for 47 students. 13 Intoxilizer Operator Refresher courses for 126 students, 3 Intoxilizer Operator Online Recertifications for 195 students, 6 radar LiDAR operator certification courses for 39 students, 11 radar LiDAR operator refresher courses for 110 students, and 3 radar LiDAR operator online recertifications for a total of 203 students and a total of 54 classes. Does anyone have any questions? Please, the chair, I'll move on to curriculum update.
Please, sir.
Okay. For curriculum updates, we'll talk about laws of reasonable force that was updated. We included stress on the sanctity of life. Definitions of justification of force, including reasonable and necessary, are requirements. We also updated conflict management, stress management, not resolution. And this course is now based on vetted research. Next, we have updated the defensive tactics course. The 16 hours are ready to go, but what we want the council to understand is we are currently pressure testing that 16 hours in our basic academies here, so it is not required as yet for the satellite academies. We anticipate a go-live for those 16 hours absolutely no later than January 1st of next year, but if it works well in these upcoming classes, we should be able to start that much sooner to the rest of the state. As far as defensive tactics goes, we've also standardized language and uniform searching techniques based on vetted research. Next, for scenarios, currently we have a draft for grading, tracking, and a remediation rubric. Yes, sir.
On the standardized language, can you cover that, please?
Yes. I believe that it was based on, and correct me if I'm wrong, Captain, on studies from Europe.
UK.
Excuse me, Major. And the standardized language has been modified to address some concerns that came up in the recent defensive tactics training.
I had questions on that. Can you cover that language, please? Are you prepared to do that?
I believe so, Major.
When you're speaking to a subject, what that language is, and is this the appropriate form?
If I could interject.
Yes.
The UK, through our research, the UK and even Europe, they ask an individual they're arresting what their preferred pronoun is and then whatnot. And some of that language transferred over into our proposed changes. We found that and eliminated that because the whole point of a uniform search is so that officers aren't put in a position to ask what a person's preferred pronoun is or how they identify themselves as.
So that was removed and not added, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay, I misunderstood that. I was under the impression that was added and not removed.
No, and I apologize for that.
Thank you, sir.
It was in the most recent update, and we realized that it was added when it shouldn't have, and so now it has been corrected to reflect our reasoning for going to a uniform search, regardless of the individual you're searching.
And exactly the point on my concern. Yes. Thank you.
I can apologize. Moving on to scenarios, we have drafted a rubric for grading, tracking, remediation for cadets. This will be on actual tablets for the evaluators. This would allow us to standardize assessment for the cadets and should allow us to include critical failures and require remediation. So it should allow us a better tracking system for scenario performance. Last item for curriculum updates is for Department of Corrections. It's our understanding that Department of Corrections has moved their BCO curriculum are in the process of transitioning to a live document, which will standardize this live document across both POST and DOC. Did I get that right, Kevin? Any other questions on curriculum updates? Yes.
Would you like to introduce Lieutenant?
Yes. So we failed to introduce Lieutenant Chris Newland. He was recently selected. He's with the SIAC, the intelligence side of that bureau. But he tested, and there were a couple of people who participated in the selection process, and I think there were members of the council that did. But yeah, he's over basic training, and he's got a lot thrown on his plate. So we'll talk about some of the initiatives that he's doing and been charged with throughout the course of this meeting.
Any other questions? Thank you.
Thank you, sir. We'll now move on to the special functions law enforcement officer, Lieutenant. Oh, sorry, we've already done that one, haven't we? We'll go ahead and move to the disciplinary cases with Renee Spooner.
Okay, the first case is Elisa Allen.
Elisa, are you here? Elisa, are you here, or is your counsel present? I see no one rising. Go ahead, counsel.
The agency involved is VEC. The offense is driving under the influence of alcohol and or drugs, or a combination of both, a Category D offense. Post recommendation is a 1.5-year suspension, and Ms. Allen defaulted during the process. The agency action was she was terminated 8/17/2020. The aggravators are the BAC was quadruple. Elisa Allen was investigated by a local police agency for driving under the influence of alcohol. The investigation disclosed that on August 15th, 2020, Allen was at a bar with a friend where she consumed multiple alcoholic beverages. Allen drove her vehicle when she left the bar. Allen was stopped for multiple traffic violations. The officer could smell the odor of alcoholic beverage coming from her and noticed she had bloodshot eyes. Allen failed the standardized field sobriety test. Allen was arrested for DUI and submitted to a breath test. Allen's results of the breath test were 0.226. On August 22, 2020, the case was screened by the city attorney and charges were filed on Allen. On September 16, 2020, Allen entered a plea of guilty to a charge of DUI as provided by Utah Code Annotated Section 41-6A-502, a Class B misdemeanor. On March 17, during a Garrity interview with Post, Allen admitted to going to a bar and consuming two beers and multiple mixed drinks containing vodka. Allen admitted she would fail the SFTSs and she was unsafe to operate a motor vehicle. Allen said she was not offered a plea deal due to her high breath alcohol content and she pled guilty to DUI. Allen failed to respond to the notice of agency action. On May 12, 2021, an order of default was signed by the administrative law judge and it was mailed to Allen.
Any questions for counsel? Anything further from the investigator? We have a motion.
I'll make the motion that we follow post recommendation of a 1.5-year suspension for Elise Allen.
I have a motion from Chief So to follow the post recommended guidelines.
Second.
I have a second from Chief Allen Swanson. Any further discussion? Call for the vote. Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Seeing none, the motion passes. Thank you.
The next case is Zachariah Harger.
Zachariah, do you have counsel present?
No, I do not.
Okay, for the record, Mr. Zachariah, you're going to represent yourself then?
Yeah.
Thank you.
The agency involved is the Salt Lake County Sheriff's Office. The offense, a privacy violation, a Category E offense. The post recommendation is a 9-month suspension, and Mr. Harger waived during the adjudicative process, and he is still employed. The aggravators are there's multiple violations. Zachariah Harger was investigated by his agency for placing an audio recording device in his girlfriend's home without her permission. During Garrity interviews with his agency and Post, Harger said on two occasions he placed an audio recorder in his girlfriend's home without her permission. Harger said he did this because he wanted to know what his girlfriend and her kids were saying about him. A criminal investigation was not conducted. On May 25th, 2021, Harger waived his right to a hearing before an administrative law judge and stipulated to the facts as contained in the notice of agency action.
Any questions for counsel? Sheriff Noel.
Is he here?
He's right there.
Also, he did resign 2 weeks ago, so we'll have to update the date on that.
That's not so the resignation is in effect?
Yes.
Thank you.
Was the equipment used property of the sheriff's office, or was it personally owned? It was personal. Thank you.
Any additional questions for Mr. Harger?
Did the agency take any action against
you? Mr. Harger, will you please come up to the podium? Thank you. Sorry about that.
Sorry, what was the question again?
Did your agency take any disciplinary action for you?
No.
Do you have anything to add, Mr. Harger?
No, I understand now what I did wrong, and I apologize. And whatever the council deems is the fair punishment, I'll take that on the nose.
Right. So just for clarification, you have what is the date that you resigned?
I believe my last day was the 13th or 14th, whatever that Monday was, last Monday. So.
Okay. So for post-council, that would be, we would credit that time from his official resignation date that would go toward the credit on the suspension. Any further questions for Mr. Harger?
Was the resignation for this activity or something different that we haven't been told about?
No, just this and the overall stress compound between work and then the investigation. So I got to have a healthy home life and something needs to go. So.
There's no further questions. I'll go ahead and ask for a motion.
Well, do you accept the recommendation?
I have a motion to accept from Colonel Rappage. Do I have a second? I have a second from Sheriff Nate Curtis. Any further discussion? Hearing none, those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Seeing none, the motion passes. Thank you, sir.
The next case is Michael Hayes.
Mr. Hayes, are you here or do you have counsel present?
Nobody's in the hall.
For the record, I see no one rising. Go ahead, counsel.
The agency involved is Salt Lake County Sheriff's Office. The offense is electronic communication harassment, threats of violence, a Category D offense. Post recommendation is a 2.5-year suspension, and Mr. Hayes defaulted in the administrative process, and he resigned 7/17/2020. And the aggravators are multiple counts. Michael Hayes was investigated by a local police agency for electronic communication harassment and threats of violence. The investigation disclosed that on multiple days during the month of June and July 2020, Hayes sent numerous harassing text messages, emails, and threatening text messages to his ex-wife and her boyfriend. Hayes continued to send harassing messages after being told to stop by his ex-wife and by the local police department. On July 15, 2020, the case was screened with the city attorney and charges were filed on Hayes. On October 21, 2020, Hayes entered a plea of guilty to one count of threats of violence, as provided in Utah Code Annotated Section 76-5-107, a Class B misdemeanor, and five counts of electronic communication harassment, as provided in Utah Code Annotated 76-9-201, a Class B misdemeanor. As part of the plea deal, the other 32 counts of electronic communication harassment were dismissed with prejudice. During a Garrity interview with Post, Hayes admitted that he sent his ex-wife harassing messages after being told by her and by the local police to stop contacting her. Hayes said he purchased two new phones to send the threatening and harassing messages to his ex-wife's boyfriend anonymously. Hayes admitted that some of the message he sent involved threats of violence. Hayes resigned from his department before participating in his department's administrative investigation. Hayes failed to respond to the notice of agency action. On March 22, 2021, an order of default was signed by the administrative law judge, and it was mailed to Hayes.
Any questions for counsel? Hearing none, we'll go ahead and call for the motion.
Motion to accept post recommendations.
We have a motion from John Crowley to accept post recommendations.
Do I have a second?
Second from Dr. Frank Budd. Any further discussion? Hearing none, I'll go ahead and call for the vote. Those in favor?
Aye.
Do we have any opposed? Seeing none, the motion passes.
Thank you.
The next case is Brandon Laverne.
Brandon, for the record, Mr. Laverne is here. If you could please step forward. Do you have counsel present, Mr. Laverne?
No, sir.
For the record, Mr. Laverne will be representing himself today.
There's no current agency involved. He's not employed. The offenses are assault, DV, unlawful detention, DV, intoxication. The categories for are C and F. Post recommendation is 2.5 years. During the administrative process, Mr. Laverne defaulted, and the aggravators are DV, domestic violence, multiple violations. Brandon Laverne got into an argument with his live-in girlfriend at their residence. Laverne spent the day drinking alcohol and playing video games. His girlfriend returned from work and wanted to go to bed, but Laverne wanted to eat dinner with her. The argument escalated and the girlfriend called the police. The girlfriend reported during the argument, Laverne pinned her down on the bed and prevented her from leaving. Laverne was arrested and charged with assault DV, unlawful detention DV, and intoxication. During a Garrity interview with Post, Laverne admitted to grabbing and pulling his girlfriend during the argument. He also kept her from leaving and held her down on the bed. Laverne entered a guilty plea to be held in abeyance on all three charges. On May 23, 2021, Laverne failed to respond to the notice of agency action. On May 21, 2021, an order of default was signed by the administrative law judge. The order of default was mailed to Laverne on May 27, 2021.
Any question for counsel? Hearing none, Mr. Laverne, will you please step forward?
Absolutely.
Go ahead, sir.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I apologize for taking up some of your time today. I've had a lot to think about over this last year and my circumstances that put me in the position that I was in. Since that occurrence, I have made major life-changing decisions. I've stopped drinking. I've sought counseling on a consistent basis. I've added a newborn into my life, which played a huge role in turning my life around. Law enforcement's always been something that I wanted to do. I went to college for it, and it's been a passion to help other people. And it's hard to stand up here before you and know that I put myself here. So I apologize for my emotional outbreak here, but Since the incident, I have continued to try to assist in my community. I've taken an EMT course. I have completed the course. I am not yet certified with the state, as I am still currently on probation until the end of this year. I've accepted that, as again, like I said, I have put myself into this position, and I understand accountability and the way that we need to be held accountable. Without accountability, this whole situation with the community outlook upon policing has spiraled out of control. So that being said, I do understand that people need to be held accountable for their actions. I do request, if we can look at that time frame, it's been a year. If I do have to re-go through the academy in the future, I'll be more than willing to take that on again, as even just a refresher to help me and to help my community. Again, I'd just like to thank you for your time and consideration into this entire situation.
When did you graduate from the academy?
May 30th of 2020.
And then this event happened 2 months later?
Yes, sir.
And did you go through the academy on your own, or?
I went through it on my own, sir. Halfway through it, I was picked up by Duchesne County, and then they provided the LEO portion, sponsored me through that, while I also self-paid on that, though.
So, for clarification, did you ever work for Duchesne County?
I did for a short time. I resigned in April. I was employed from approximately February 11th through April 11th of 2020. I did resign for personal reasons from that department, and when this occurred, I was seeking employment with Vernal City Police Department, and I'd actually had an interview lined up for the following Monday. The incident happened on a Friday, and clearly I didn't make it to my interview.
But you were not employed by an agency during this incident,
correct? That is correct, sir.
All right. So if I understand correctly, Director, he would need to reactivate his certification. Is that correct?
Yeah, at the completion.
At the completion of the time served. That being said, would the year that he has been out go toward that?
Yes. So we have 8 months, and then it goes into an inactive status. Right.
Okay, go ahead.
Your time in Duchesne County, was that just while you were in the academy you were picked up? You never really worked for the county or anything?
I was employed roughly, like I said, about February 11th. We graduated March, the end of March. I did work in the jail for 3 weeks, roughly, before the incident happened. I was hired on to go on the road with you, Lieutenant Crowley, or I don't apologize, and things just kind of spiraled down from there.
So for the record, Lieutenant Crowley from Duchesne County will recuse himself on the vote. Anything else or any questions for Mr. Laverne?
I have one more question just to clarify before. So the time, the paperwork I received from Post said 3-year suspension. So to come in here and hear 2.5 years is somewhat enlightening. Just wanted to make sure that there's no mix up though, because the paperwork I do have shows 3 years. So I just want to clarify that now before time frame situation arises in the future.
Sergeant Timpson?
I don't know where that came from. Okay. I don't know why there's a...
I can't explain why there's a discrepancy between the 2.5 years and the 3 years.
But we are going with the 2.5.
Yes.
So for clarification, the recommendation is 2.5 years. That's what you will be voting on. Or an amendment. I have a motion from.
Do you have anything else?
No. Go ahead. What period of time does that cover? 2.5 years.
The 2.5 years. What?
Date of separation.
So the day that he left the agency. That's the starting time. Typically, what the council grants. Up until.
That's what I thought.
Now, sir, that wasn't with an agency during the time of occurrence. I was with an agency prior and seeking employment during the time. So I just want to clarify that.
So if the date of occurrence is passed.
So when did it happen?
It happened on July, I believe it was July 24th off the top of my head, maybe a day or two, somewhere in there.
2020,
yes, sir.
So July 11th, 2020.
July 11 of 2020, not July 24.
Thank you for the verification, sir. I appreciate that.
So a 2.5 year will basically be a year and a half, because he'll get a year, right?
Correct.
Essentially, yes.
A year from the date.
So almost a year next month.
Almost, yes.
Right. Okay, interesting.
I can't want to call you Sheriff. Sorry, Chief. Chief Swanson. Go ahead. I have a motion from Chief Swanson to accept post recommendation. Do I have a second?
Second.
I have a second from Chief Soap. Do we have any further discussion? Hearing none, we'll go ahead and call for a vote. Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Seeing none, the motion passes.
Thank you for your time, sir.
The next case is Dustin Long.
Sorry, I'm just conferring with the director here for a minute. Go ahead. Mr. Long, are you here or do you have counsel present? For the record, I see no one rising. Go ahead and proceed, counsel.
The agency involved is Twilla County Sheriff's Office. The offense is criminal mischief, criminal trespass, and DUI. Categories D and E. Post recommendation is a 2-year suspension. Mr. Long defaulted in the administrative process. He resigned September 3rd, 2020. We have aggravators because of multiple offenses. Dustin Long was investigated for criminal mischief, criminal trespass, and DUI. The investigation disclosed Long and his father breached a gate that was secured with a wire and drove onto private property without permission of the property owner. The property was clearly marked by a sign as being private. Two ranchers located Long and his father on the north side of the property and confronted them. Long's father admitted to cutting a wire fence on the north side so he and Long could exit the property. Long and his father fled the scene after being confronted. A rancher called the police. Long was stopped by a local police officer while driving his side-by-side. A second officer arrived and detected the odor of an alcoholic beverage coming from Long's person. The second officer administered standardized field sobriety test. Long failed the field sobriety test. Long admitted to consuming alcoholic beverages throughout the day. Long was subsequently arrested for DUI, criminal mischief, and criminal trespass. Long submitted to a blood draw and had a blood alcohol content of 0.09. An administrative investigation was opened by his agency. Long resigned and did not participate in the investigation. The investigation determined Long violated policies concerning conduct and performance. The case was screened with the city attorney and charges were filed on Long. Long pled guilty to an amended charge of impaired driving, a Class B misdemeanor. He also pled no contest to criminal mischief, a Class B misdemeanor. The criminal trespass charge was dismissed with prejudice. Post attempted to contact Long to arrange a time for an interview. Long did not respond to calls from Post. A Garrity interview was not completed. Long failed to respond to the notice of agency action. On June 7, 2021, an order of default was signed by the administrative law judge and mailed to him.
Any question for counsel? Hearing none, I'll go ahead and call for a motion. Go ahead.
Chief Swanson.
Why on this DUI is the recommendation 2 year at a 0.9, and we had a DUI earlier where 0.223, and then we got a year and a half recommendation.
Is there something aggravating?
Yes, sir. I can explain that. So the
reason that it's 2 years instead of just the baseline of a year is he pled no contest to criminal trespassing, and then there was sufficient information to substantiate the, excuse me, I think pled no contest to criminal mischief, but there was sufficient information. Yes.
Yes.
But then there was sufficient information to substantiate the criminal trespass too. And those each have a baseline of 6 months. So that totals 1 year plus the DUI of a year. We came up with the 2 years. Yeah.
Tori, go ahead.
What was the 2 hour delay on the blood draw? What was the reasoning for that?
They weren't located for some time after fleeing from the pasture.
Do you know if they extrapolated the burn-off rate on that?
No.
Okay, thank you. Is that where you're going, counsel? Okay. Any further questions? Hearing none, we'll go ahead and call for a motion.
I move to accept.
I have a motion for Director Nelson to accept, but a second. Second from Chief Swanson. Any further discussion? Hearing none, we'll go ahead and call for the vote. Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Seeing none, the motion passes. Thank you.
The next case is Chris Loveless.
Chris Loveless, are you here or do you have counsel present? For the record, I see no one rising. Is somebody there?
Is he in the hall?
I see no one rising. Go ahead, counsel.
The agency involved is American Fork Police Department. The offense is falsification of a government record, a Category D offense. Post recommendation is a 2-year suspension, and Mr. Loveless defaulted during the administrative process. He resigned in lieu of termination February 25th, 2020. And we have aggravators for multiple offenses. On February 22nd, 2020, Chris Loveless, an officer with the American Fork Police Department, engaged in a vehicle pursuit. Video footage from his vehicle's dash camera showed the pursuit ended when Loveless accelerated his patrol vehicle and crashed into the back of the suspect vehicle. Loveless documented in his crime report and probable cause statements that his vehicle's brakes were not working to their full potential, which led to the traffic accident. Loveless was investigated by his agency and admitted to accelerating his patrol vehicle and crashing into the back of the suspect vehicle. On February 25th, 2020, Loveless resigned from the American Fork Police Department in lieu of termination. During a post-Garrity interview, Loveless made the same admission concerning the vehicle pursuit as he did with American Fork Police Department. He also specified that he did not recall using his brakes during the pursuit. Loveless failed to respond to the notice of agency action. On March 22, 2021, an order of default was signed by the administrative law judge and it was mailed to Loveless.
Question.
You mentioned at the beginning of this that there was some aggravating circumstances. I didn't hear any other than just the charge of the falsification.
So the multiple offenses was the crime report that he completed. It contained information saying that his brakes were, I believe, overheated, which is why he couldn't stop, which was false because he accelerated into the back of the vehicle. The other documents that he falsified were the probable cause statements for the suspects that were arrested. He essentially copied his crime report and just pasted it into the PC statements. So there were two different documents there, two different types of documents.
Any further questions? Hearing none, I'll go ahead and call for a motion.
I'll make the motion.
I have a motion from Sheriff Curtis
that we accept the post recommendation.
We have a motion to accept the post recommendation. I had a second from Janetta Williams. Any further discussion? Hearing none, I'll go ahead and call for the vote. Those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Seeing none, the motion passes. Thank you.
The next case is her son, Mahano.
Sorry, one more time. I was conferring here.
Oh, okay. So we're calling her son, Mahano.
We've checked in the hall. Nobody's there. I don't see Mr. Mahano rising for the record. Do we have any counsel present? Seeing none, go ahead and proceed.
The agency involved is VEC. The offense is driving under the influence, which is a Category D offense. Post recommendation is a 2-year suspension. And Mr. Mahano defaulted during the administrative process. He was terminated April 19th, 2020. The aggravators are property damage and controlled substance use. Herson Mahano, a certified dispatcher, intentionally drove his car into a cement sound barrier in an attempt to kill himself. Mahano told officers investigating the accident that he had a drug addiction. Mahano said he relapsed at a party earlier that day and used methamphetamines and was feeling bad about doing so. He said he believed his addiction was going to ruin his life, so he drove his car into the cement sound barrier in an attempt to kill himself. Mahano performed standardized field sobriety tests and provided multiple clues of impairment. Mahano was arrested and cited for DUI. The arresting officer then applied for an involuntary commitment, a pink sheet, to a local medical center where Mahano was evaluated by medical personnel. On March 2nd, 2021, Mahano entered a guilty plea to be held in abeyance to the amended charge of impaired driving. Mahano did not return any of Post's attempt to contact him. Herson Mahano failed to respond to the notice of agency action. On June 7th, 2021, an order of default was signed by the administrative law judge, and on June 8th, 2021, a copy was mailed to Mahano.
Any questions for counsel? Chief,
thank you.
Was the driving under the influence alcohol also, or just the meth?
Just the meth,
thank you.
All
of that. So we're involved in illicit drug when we
It involved the DUI was a Class B misdemeanor, and it involved the use of an illicit drug. So does that make it a Category C?
I'll trust you on this one.
I was going to say, we just increased it, but yes, we increased it due to the accident, property damage, and the methamphetamine, but it would be increased off that category, so.
Just for the record, the guideline under Category C, what the colonel is referring to is engages in conduct which is a state or federal criminal offense that is a Class B misdemeanor, and which involves the possession or use of an illicit or Schedule I controlled substance.
Which is a 3 years, is that correct?
Baseline's two, and then if we aggravated it, would have went up from there.
I have a question. Since there was notice stuff as a Category D offense, is there any issue issue with us taking into consideration of the seat?
Yes, so you would have to stick with what the notice was and stay with it. The council is free to do whatever they need. As far as the sanction, but he was noticed for the C sanction.
Well, it's good to have attorneys in the room.
Applies to Schedule 1 controlled substances. Methamphetamine is not a Schedule 1, correct?
It's a 2.
I think it just says 2.
Illicit or Schedule 1.
Or Schedule 1.
Thank you.
So it sounds like we have to stick with Category D.
We can raise the timeline. Has been done by aggravating. It's at the same time for C as the aggravated D.
Correct.
Do you aggravate? We know what that means, Chief, if he was committed for the 72 hours or not.
No, we couldn't get any information on that, and that's what I was trying to reach out to find to him to find out if there was any.
They wouldn't really say it, and he wouldn't talk to us, and we were unable to find out if there was anything more along those lines.
Yes.
Could
modify the time frame to the max. Right. Mm-hmm. So either at the top of the scale.
Yeah. Do you want a motion?
Do we have a motion?
Make a motion. We adjust the sanction to the maximum of Category D of 2.5 year suspension.
I have a motion from Colonel Rappage to... Sorry, go ahead.
Suspension to the maximum under Category D based on the aggravator of the illicit drug.
To increase it to class C to the maximum.
No. Class D.
Class D to the maximum.
To the maximum suspension
of 2.5 years.
Second
time. And the second from Colonel Sassy. Any further discussion?
We need to have where he was committed or involuntary. This is a voluntary thing. We need to apply a fitness for duty on that 2.5 years. So if he comes back, he has to fitness for duty where he's involuntarily committed.
Do we need to go and see?
Do we need to cover that?
Yes.
That's a question.
I would just add that whether he was committed or not, we don't know that, but he states that he was suicidal, and a fitness for duty seems appropriate.
Yes.
So we have a substitute motion?
Indefinite suspension pending a fitness for duty.
From John Crowley to do...
And this is a dispatch.
Remember, it's a
dispatch. Oh, it's a dispatch. So do we have a... Still would apply? Do we have a indefinite suspension pending a medical evaluation for fitness for duty prior to coming back?
But shouldn't it have a minimum?
But still would have a minimum of 2.5 years in addition to a fitness for duty.
Exactly. Correct.
So that's a motion. Do we have a second?
I'll second that.
We have a second from Dr. Checkitz. Any further discussion? Hearing none, we'll go ahead and call for the vote. Those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes.
Thank you.
Just for the record, if I could just clarify what just happened. The council's staying within the category, which is Category D. However, they're adding an additional requirement to getting that certification back, which is well within your authority. Just for the record.
Council.
Next case, Jeremy Miller.
Mr. Miller, are you here or do you have counsel present? For the record, I see no one rising. We'll go ahead and proceed, counsel.
The agency involved is Weber County Sheriff's Office. The offense is custodial sexual relations, a Category A offense. Post recommendation is revocation. Mr. Miller waived during the administrative process. He was terminated February 8th, 2019. Jeremy Miller was investigated criminally for allegations of sexual misconduct with two female inmates. One inmate stated they had sexual intercourse 10 times while she was in custody. The other inmate stated they had sexual intercourse one time while she was in custody. Miller admitted to giving his phone number to the inmate that alleged they had sexual intercourse 10 times so they could have sexual intercourse after she was released, but denied having sexual intercourse with the two inmates. The inmate who said she and Miller had sex 10 times also said she and Miller used a condom each time they had sex. A box of condoms was found in Miller's vehicle during the investigation. Miller denied using condoms with his wife. On January 4th, 2019, five counts of custodial sexual relations were filed against Miller. He was subsequently terminated from Weber County Sheriff's Office on February 8, 2019. On July 23, 2019, Miller pled no contest to one count of custodial sexual relations, a third-degree felony. The other four charges were dismissed without prejudice. On March 10, 2021, Miller participated in a Garrity interview with Post. In the interview, Miller admitted having sexual intercourse with the two inmates, but admitted to having sexual conversations. He also stated that if he was going to have sexual intercourse with either of them, then he would have chosen the one that claimed they had sexual intercourse 10 times. On May 21st, 2021, Miller waived his right to a hearing before an administrative law judge and stipulated to the facts as contained in the notice of agency action.
Any questions for counsel? Seeing none, I'll go ahead and call for a motion.
I move that we accept post-recommendation of revocation.
I have a motion from Dr. Budd to accept post-recommendation and a second from Janetta Williams. Any further discussion? Hearing none, we'll go ahead and call for the vote. Those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes.
The next case is Jack Stevenson.
Mr. Stevenson is present, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Do you have counsel present?
No, sir.
Okay, thank you, sir. Go ahead, counsel.
He's not employed, so agency was not involved. The offense is willful falsification of any information to obtain certification, a Category C. Post recommendation is a 2-year suspension. Mr. Stevenson waived during the administrative process. And the aggravators are multiple omissions. Jack Stevenson attended basic training and received certification on April 1st, 2020. Stevenson later submitted a memorandum of self-reporting additional drug usage different from what was reported on his application to enter basic training. The memorandum included additional types of drugs as well as additional marijuana use beyond what had been included on his original application. During a Garrity interview with Post, Stevenson admitted he left the additional information off the application for fear of not being admitted to basic training. On May 5th, 2021, Jack Stevenson waived his right to a hearing before an administrative law judge and stipulated to the facts as contained in the notice of agency action.
Any questions for counsel? Mr. Stevenson, would you like to address? I just want to add one point to this. Under 536.211G, under dishonesty, potentially this could have sanctions for if after he completed his time, Garrity issue may be a situation as well. So, Any questions or for Mr. Stevenson?
What's that?
A Brady issue.
A Brady issue. Brady DBO. Sorry, I didn't hear you. I apologize.
Any questions for Mr. Stevenson? You have anything to add?
No, I'm just here.
Okay, sir. Thank you. Any questions for counsel? Hearing none, we'll go ahead and call for a motion.
Motion to accept the recommendation of 2-year suspension.
I have a motion to accept a 2-year suspension post-recommended guidelines from Colonel Rappage. Do I have a second?
Second.
Sheriff Curtis, any further discussion? Hearing none, we will go ahead and call for the vote. Those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes. Thank you, sir.
Before moving on to the next, when would that suspension start for him?
What was the date of the action? I guess today would be the date of the action, correct? You were not employed, so therefore you have not missed any employment time, so that would be the date. Today's date is my understanding.
Well,
2 years from today's date, is that correct, counsel?
Maybe you have a discussion about the date he submitted the application and the date of incident you could contemplate.
So date of incident, there would be no action, is that correct?
Because
there wasn't a suspension.
So
that'd be February 10th of 21. However, there wasn't a suspension action, is that correct? So that, if my understanding would be from the date of action, which would be, because he's not employed, so that would be post-counsel's action. Is that correct, counsel?
That's right.
So that would be today's date, sir. Any questions?
No, thank you.
All right, thank you.
Next case is Benjamin Stahl.
Mr. Stahl, are you here, or do you have counsel present?
Mr. Stahl is supposed to be on
here.
For the record, he is appearing virtually, and is that your counsel that you have with you? Counsel?
Yes, sir.
Would you guys go ahead and introduce yourselves, please?
I'm Ben Stahl, and this is Doug Stahl.
Thank you.
I am his father. I'm also a practicing attorney.
Okay. With that, we'll go ahead and start with post. Counsel, go ahead.
The agency involved is Utah County Constables. The offense is impersonation of an officer and DUI, Category D offense. Post recommendation, 2.5-year suspension. This went to a hearing. It was adjudicated. He was terminated August 28th, 2019. And the aggravators are twice the legal limit and multiple offenses. Benjamin Stahl, a special functions officer who was working for a Utah County Constable's office, was investigated for a criminal offense of impersonation of an officer. Stahl completed his law enforcement officer training but was not sworn. Stahl also was investigated for driving under the influence of alcohol on a separate occasion. During the first incident, Stahl was at his parents' residence and noticed a vehicle with a male individual in the driver's seat who was asleep. Stahl thought the male may have been drunk, so he approached the vehicle. Stahl told the male he was a sergeant with Utah County and asked him what he was doing. The male told Stahl he was an Uber driver waiting for a rider. Stahl asked the male for his Uber license or Uber certification, which the male did not have. Stahl asked the driver to exit his vehicle. As the male opened his door, Stahl observed two firearms inside the vehicle. Stahl took the firearms away from the male and placed them on the windshield of the vehicle. The male then exited the vehicle and Stahl contacted the local police for assistance. The responding agency later discovered Stahl was not a law enforcement officer and screened charges with the local prosecutor. During the second incident, Stoll was driving home from a concert he attended at a local venue. Stoll entered an intersection on a green light and was struck by another vehicle. The responding officer spoke with Stoll and observed the odor of alcohol coming from him. Stoll admitted to the officer he consumed a few beers. Stoll performed the standardized field sobriety test, which he failed. Stoll submitted to an intoxilizer test, which registered a breath alcohol level of 0.188. Stoll was issued a citation for the DUI and released to a responsible party. Stoll pled guilty to driving under the influence of alcohol, a Class B misdemeanor, in criminal court. The charge of impersonation of an officer was later dismissed without prejudice. Stoll participated in a Garrity interview with Post and admitted to the conduct of the DUI. Stoll also admitted he told the male driver he was a sergeant with Etah County. In the interview, Stoll said he asked the driver to exit his vehicle and hand over the weapons. Stoll later resigned from his employment from Etah County Constable's Office. On March 10, 2021, a hearing was held before the administrative law judge. On April 5, 2021, the administrative law judge issued findings of fact and conclusions of law stating Stoll violated Etah Code Annotated Section 536211 on both counts as outlined in the Notice of Agency Action.
Any questions for counsel? Hearing none, I'll go ahead and turn the... Oh, wait, there is. Victoria, go ahead. For the record, Ms. McFarland will recuse herself. Go ahead. Mr. Stoll, would you like to present to counsel or your legal counsel?
Yeah, if I have the opportunity to read a statement.
Please.
Thank you for the opportunity to address this counsel. I've been very eager to apologize for my actions. This is a big step in my recovery from drinking. I feel ashamed and humbled by my experience over the last 2 years. This by far has been the most difficult time of my life. I started down this rabbit hole when a close friend of mine lost his life in South Salt Lake. I never had to experience that kind of grief before. Instead of using the tools that were available the proper way, I turned to alcohol. Eventually, my drinking caught up with me and it cost me dearly. After I resigned from law enforcement almost 2 years ago, I've successfully completed my treatment program. Can you guys hear me?
Yes, we can. Yes, sir, we can hear you.
I've completed my treatment program as well as 90% of my probation requirements, and I'm on track for early termination with the court. I've grown to a capacity I didn't know I had, and this journey has made me realize that I'm capable of making the right decisions in the future. I'm deeply sorry not only to the public, but also to my law enforcement family and my own family as well. When given the opportunity, I will show the person that I have become an example of good decisions and integrity. And thank you again.
I just had one question for just a counsel question. You resigned, I believe, in 2019. Does this potentially be retroactive to that date, or is it what time did it start?
Were you terminated at that time?
Yes, it's terminated.
Okay.
I was.
Okay. Correct. It is. It would be the date of termination, separation from your agency. So that time would be credited. And what was that date again, sir?
It was the 27th or the 28th of August, 2019.
It was the 28th. August 28th, 2019.
Okay. We'll submit for that. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Any further questions for Mr. Stoll, or do you have any additional questions, counsel?
No, sir.
Hearing none, I'll go ahead and call for a motion.
Motion to accept.
I have a motion to accept from Chief Swanson. Do I have a second?
I have a second from Chief Self. Any further discussion? Hearing none, I'll go ahead and call for the vote. Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you, gentlemen.
Motion passes.
The next case is Taffin Strong.
For the record, Mr. Strong, we have to have our counsel, Richard Jorgensen, needs to recuse himself. So, Ms. Spooner, you will need to act as legal counsel in the event. Ms. Vitti, if Ms. Vitti's on, then she will act as my counsel if I have any additional questions. So, go ahead, counsel. Is she here or Taffin Strong? I see no one rising. Is counsel present? Go ahead, counsel.
The agency involved is Beaver County Sheriff's Office. The offense is driving under the influence of alcohol, drugs, or a combination of both with specific or unsafe blood alcohol concentration. Category D offense. Post recommendation is 2.5 year suspension. Mr. Strong defaulted during the administrative process. He resigned August 18th, 2020. Aggravators are, he was in the Beaver County Sheriff's Office uniform, but he was unarmed, and he was 3 times the legal limit. Taffin Strong was investigated by the local police agency for driving under the influence of alcohol. On August 10th, 2020, a citizen reported to dispatch a reckless driver. The local agency located the reckless driver and identified the driver as Strong. Strong was in his personal vehicle, dressed in his Beaver County Sheriff's Office uniform, but not armed. Strong had bloodshot eyes and was asked to perform standardized field sobriety tests and exhibited multiple signs of impairment. Strong was arrested and a blood alcohol test was conducted. Strong had a blood alcohol content of 0.19. On August 11th, 2020, the case was screened with the county attorney and charges were filed on Strong. On December 10th, 2020, Strong entered a plea of guilty to a charge of impaired driving as provided in Utah Code Annotated Section 416A502.5, a Class B misdemeanor. On August 11th, 2020, during a Garrity interview with his agency, Strong said he drank too much alcohol prior to when he was scheduled to work. Strong said he decided to go to work instead of calling off for the shift. Strong did not participate in the post investigation. Strong failed to respond to the notice of agency action. On March 31st, 2021, an order of default was signed by the administrative law judge and was mailed to Strong.
For the record, show that Sheriff Cameron Novell of Beaver County will recuse himself as well. Any questions for counsel? Hearing none, do we have a motion?
I'll make the motion that we follow post recommendation of a 2.5-year suspension for Corrections Officer Taffin Strong.
We've got a motion from Chief Soap to follow post recommendation. Do we have a second?
Awesome.
I have a second from Spence Austin. Any further conversation? I'll go ahead and call for the vote. Those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion passes.
Thank you.
The next case is Richard Taylor.
Mr. Taylor, are you here or do you have counsel present?
No one in the hall.
I see no one rising. Go ahead, counsel.
The agency involved is Pleasant Grove Police Department. The offense is a breach of peace, a category F. Post recommendation is a 3-month suspension. Mr. Taylor waived during the administrative process. He resigned in lieu of termination March 1st, 2020. Richard Taylor and his ex-wife were traveling together out of state. They stopped for the night and Taylor began drinking alcohol. Taylor and his ex-wife then got into an argument. Taylor's ex-wife called one of Taylor's daughters to try and calm him down. Another daughter was also on the phone and called the local police for a welfare check upon hearing the argument escalate. When police arrived, Taylor's ex-wife reported Taylor prevented her from leaving by blocking the exit from the RV. Taylor's ex-wife also reported Taylor pushed her and she fell to the floor. The ex-wife further reported Taylor pulled a gun from an ankle holster and threatened to kill himself. Taylor's ex-wife said she was afraid he was going to kill her and himself. Taylor was arrested and later pled guilty to a reduced charge breach of the peace. During the post-Garrity interview, Taylor admitted to being intoxicated, but denied assaulting his ex-wife or preventing her from leaving. On June 3rd, 2021, Richard Taylor waived his right to a hearing before an administrative law judge and stipulated to the facts as contained in the notice of agency action.
Counsel, did that include his threat against himself to kill himself? Did he admit to that?
In the body cam video collected by the local police agency that investigated, he said that he denied being suicidal, saying he did not want to continue to live without her in his life.
So he denied that he was suicidal?
He denied being suicidal.
Okay. We have a motion. Or any questions for counsel first?
Got a motion.
Not to follow their recommendation, I think it should go to the max for that category and be a one-year suspension.
Chief, I couldn't hear you.
One-year suspension?
I have a recommendation for a max in that category for a one-year suspension. I've got a second from Sheriff Curtis.
I have a question.
Ms. Williams.
Okay, my question is, what happens if he decides he may want to go back into law enforcement?
Yeah, are you referring to his threat against for himself?
I mean, if his employment, what would happen?
So he would have to go, if he's suspended for 1 year and his post-certification is still active, then he would have the ability to go back in and actually go back into the profession if he were hired.
But it goes from his date of his resignation. So what we do today on 1 year means it's effectively over as soon as we impose it, correct?
Because he's been out over a year. So he could.
Can we go past the range in that category?
You could make a substitute motion. I don't know, can they go to a different range? I guess that would be the question.
Yes, they roughly you can go beyond the range. The range is just a consistency.
Why is it? So there might be a substitute motion that we go 2 years.
Mr. Chair.
Yes, go ahead. Director.
So, can I ask a question to the investigators?
Please.
So in the state of Utah, if he had displayed a weapon in a threatening manner in a group of two or more, that would be a brandishing Class B misdemeanor. Is that correct? Did the facts of the case flesh that out?
It was not in the state of Utah. And there was the only person present was his ex-wife, so it was not in a group. Other charges of possessing a firearm while intoxicated was evaluated, but because there was no chemical test as to substantiate that he was actually to the point of impairment, we were not able to pursue that in our notice.
So, Executive Director, if I may, are you talking
about a jurisdictional question?
Not necessarily jurisdictional, just the facts of the case, had it happened in Utah, would have been different, potentially.
Yes.
The conduct. Did the conduct sustain something more serious?
If he'd have been in St.
Well, we've got to be careful, because we've got to stick with what's on the notice. And that's really what we should just discuss.
Thank you.
Ms. McFarland, do you have a question?
So, if
Kim, this is in a waiver posture, right?
Yes.
So he waived on the facts contained in the agency notice, correct?
Correct.
Okay, so did not contest any of the facts relative to his ex-wife's statements relative to the information that was collected by law enforcement at the time of the incident?
He waived his right to hearing to challenge those statements, yes.
So essentially, it's a DV with firearm. Is a broad, less of a legal description, but more of a general description of what we're dealing with here?
Yes.
Does that mean that he also conceded to her statement that he was suicidal?
That was that statement of her saying he had threatened to kill himself was in the notice.
If that is in fact the case, I think we need to take into consideration a fitness for duty prior to returning to the profession.
He denied being suicidal in the Gary interview. However, I think that the circumstance preceding that and the behavior would warrant a fitness for duty.
Thanks, Dr. Chetwitz. Counsel, do you have any advice?
Yeah, so he waived on the allegation of being basically guilty of an infraction. So any other conduct can be considered as an aggravator, but he waived on the infraction charge.
Would that apply to her statement referencing his suicidal tendency or statement? Maybe. Okay, so she alleged that he was suicidal during that incident. He obviously did not concede to that. However, he did waive to her statement that the entire statement of everything she said, if I understand it correctly.
Right. But Post only alleged the disorderly conduct, essentially. So they didn't allege any of the other aggravating factors, and he waived on the basically entered a no contest plea that they could sustain the infraction level charges. So that's the facts before is what they
have done. Relative to the guidelines, we have a Category F violation, and the guidelines, the matrix is kind of the starting point, but if this body finds aggravating factors before it, we are not bound by the high end of those guidelines.
Correct. Under the statute, you may do anything from a letter caution, any period of suspension, or a revocation. The guidelines provide consistency as to one level of charge to the other throughout the board's history. So that's why the guidelines are, and they should be given deference to create consistency in the sanctions that are handed out, but they are not binding for each case.
Can I ask one? Sure. Is the reason why some of the other charges are there, do we not have evidence to substantiate the other allegations?
That is precisely why the investigating agency did not substantiate, did not investigate his suicidal potential or potential suicidal statements. They did not seek counseling for him after he was arrested and incarcerated. And his two daughters on the phone did not support the allegations from his ex-wife saying they don't remember. And they couldn't specifically say what they heard them say.
Nothing about the unlawful detention or anything like that.
I'm sorry, what was that, sir?
Nothing about the unlawful detention where
it says he kept her in the RV.
That could not be substantiated. And there was also a complicating factor that she had been drinking as well.
And just as a point of clarification, it goes along the lines of the executive director. We are bound by the jurisdiction in which the incident occurred. We can't apply our jurisdictional standards to an event that happens outside Utah. Like there's some recent case law, I believe, or within the last few years, where that has been reaffirmed.
There were also some other allegations that might have been investigated by the local agency, which were not, that could have been potential violations, but because they did not investigate that, we don't have that to substantiate at all.
have no, do we have a current
motion on the floor?
Yeah, the motion is 2 years and fitness period.
So we have a current motion from Chief Swanson for a 2-year suspension
and a fitness for duty prior to returning to the profession.
I have a second from Janetta Williams. Do we have any additional conversation or comments? Hearing none, I'm going to go ahead and call for the vote. Those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion passes. Thank you.
That's February 22nd of 2020.
The next case is Augustin Torres.
Mr. Torres, or your counsel, are you present? I see no one rising. Counsel, do you want to go ahead and proceed?
The agency involved is Utah Highway Patrol. The offense is falsification of government documents, a Category D, and misusing public money or public property, a Category A. Post recommendation is revocation. Mr. Torres defaulted during the administrative process. He had administrative leave, was put on administrative leave November 15th, 2019, and was terminated April 6, 2020. We have aggravators, multiple instances, and felony violations. Augustin Torres was investigated by his agency for falsifying time cards. The investigation determined on 11 occasions, Torres left his overtime shift early and claimed the full shift time. Torres also drove his department vehicle outside the limits of department policy for personal use. The department sustained all allegations and terminated his employment. During a Garrity interview with Post, Torres admitted he drove outside policy to visit a girlfriend while he was supposed to be working an overtime shift at a construction site. Torres also admitted leaving several overtime shifts early without permission and said if there were mistakes on the claim forms, it was because he was tired. He also stated sometimes he left early so as not to violate another policy restricting the total number of hours that can be worked in a 24-hour period. On May 23rd, 2021, Torres failed to respond to the notice of agency action. On May 26, 2021, an order of default was signed by the administrative law judge. The order of default was and mailed to Torres on May 27th, 2021. Oh, thank you.
Hearing none, I'll go ahead and call for a motion. Oh, I got a for the record, Colonel Rappage has recused himself. He just reminded me of that. With that, we'll go ahead and call for a motion.
We have a motion from Spence Austin to adopt post recommendation.
Second.
And a second from Victoria McClellan. Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Seeing none, the motion passes. Thank you.
The next case is James Vance.
Mr. Vance, are you here, or do you have counsel present? For the record, I see no one rising. Counsel, would you like to proceed, please?
The agency involved is Orem PD. The offense is passing a boat inspection station without having the boat inspected. Category E offense. Post recommendation, letter of caution. This matter went to a hearing. And Mr. Vance is still employed. On July 5th, 2020, James Vance, a law enforcement officer with the Orem Police Department, was cited for proceeding past an inspection station while transporting a boat during inspection station's hours of operation. The violation was classified as a Class B misdemeanor. On August 28, 2020, Vance pled guilty to the above-listed charge after it was amended to an infraction. Prior to Vance's guilty plea, the Orem Police Department conducted an administrative investigation. The investigation was completed on July 13, 2020. The investigation indicated Vance was culpable of failing to comply with inspection regulations. A corrective interview with Vance was later conducted in August of 2020. On November 30th, 2020, Post conducted a Garrity interview with Vance. He noticed the signs that directed boaters to the inspection station, but did not pay attention to their message at the time. Vance also explained he did not visit the inspection station because he thought it was closed. Vance visited the inspection station after being instructed to do so by law enforcement. On March 24, 2021, a hearing was held before the administrative law judge. The administrative law judge subsequently issued findings of fact and conclusions of law stating Vance violated Utah Code Annotated Section 53-6-211 as outlined in the Notice of Agency Action.
Any questions for counsel?
I have questions.
Go ahead.
I have questions and concerns about the recommendation, so I'm going to ask a question. Mr. Vance cleaned his boat off with the chemicals. There was no intent for him to leave without cleaning his boat. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. So the offense here is he cleaned his boat off, but he didn't stop and get it inspected. Is that right?
Right. There's some explanation for this statute. So
if I understand it correctly, you have to go to the boat inspection station when an inspection station is open. Right, once you go to the station, they will clean it with chemicals for you and dry it, then you're free to leave. But if the inspection station is closed, you can clean it yourself and leave. So he's made it a habit to clean his own boat after using it. In this case, he did stop and clean it and proceeded to leave because he said he didn't realize the inspection station was open, I believe. So he did clean it, but he didn't follow the procedure that was required at the time.
Do we know how these inspection stations are notified that they're open?
Yeah, there are electronic signs and I believe diamond-shaped signs similar to ones that you see on the side of the road for construction areas, indicating that the inspection station's open and actually how to get there as well.
Thank you. Do you have a motion, Chair?
Motion. Whether it's liked or not, I want to stay consistent with some of the things that we've done in the past dealing with, I guess this would be considered a wildlife. I do want to point out that if he did not make that attempt, I would ask that it would be harsher. But in this particular circumstance, he did. I'm going to ask for no action. I don't think this is something post-council, something that needs to be remain within his agency.
Yeah, according to statute, the council must either do a letter of caution up to revocation and cannot take no action and must accept the administrative law judge's findings.
If you look back at prior councils, we've done it before.
The law changed last year, is that correct?
Changed.
So according to new Utah state statute, the minimum we can do is a letter of caution. Is that correct, counsel?
Yes.
It was actually 2 years ago, House Bill 43, Representative, excuse me.
I can't remember
the representative.
That
Lee Perry.
That is the minimum that we can take.
I'll make a motion to do the minimum then.
So we have a minimum. Do you want to amend your motion to accept post standard?
Yes.
First post recommendation.
Got a motion from Sheriff Noel to accept post recommendation. Do I have a second?
Second from Sheriff Curtis. Any further discussion?
Hearing none, the motion passes. Those in favor?
Aye. Any opposed? I apologize for that. I'm moving ahead of myself. With that, we're going to take, I do have a motion to take a 5-minute break before the director speaks to us. We have that. We will be in recess for 5 minutes. Thanks.